The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
This morning the Lord is going to help you. And every situation that has been tagged impossible, help is coming. You know, Psalm chapter 3 and verse 1. David was in a difficult situation. He said, Lord, how are they increase that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And in verse 2, he said, Many there be which say of my soul, there is no hope for him in God, no help for him in God. But for thou, O Lord, are a shield for me,
my glory and the lifter of my head.
Say, but thou, O Lord.
Are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
I demand this morning for interventions, speedy answers. And I rebuke the devil from your path. I rebuke the devil from your affairs. And let that manipulation of hell be brought to an end now. In the name of Jesus. Medeo kusi, vrita, skuria, digish, beski vare, dibatun, radish, kobendish, kobretiaga. Elia Griga Dige, Besune Matanga, Viene Tubre Dishko Brate, Madisha Be, Latika Ba, Busku Vatega, Diga 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 Bretaya, Emeleti Akapo, Pepevre Katumba, E Disobila Kriga Dishko Bataya, Eneangraba Diga Baya, for there shall now be a change of direction from how things have been going. It will now turn your favor. It will now begin to work for your good. There are the basine belian grotuska vena. Eli kukube, kukube, prediko shinapanda. That at that point where it looks like you've hit the end of the road, light will suddenly begin to shine. Begin to shine in those places. In those places. In those places. Because there is help for you in God. There is help for you in God. There is help for you in God. Except for you in God. And I heard the Lord say to me, he will sort everything out. What I'm saying is, Lord, he will sort everything out, and in no distant time, you will be able to have an answer. I mean, some of you have situations that you cannot really explain. He said you will understand. That's what I'm hearing in the spirit. Very soon you will understand why things are this way. Because I'm seeing a mixture of colors. As I see in the spirit, I see green, yellow, all of these things. And I saw the colors being separated. Yellow one side, green one side, red. And I said, Lord, what is it? He said, I will sort it out to your spirit. That confusion that has been in your heart, I will sort it out. I will let you see it clearly. I will let you understand why it played out that way and why it happened the way it happened. You will have an answer soon. Yes, that's what the Lord said. And the Lord said, when I sort it out for you, it will minister comfort to your heart. I will clear the confusion and you will see why it is this way and why it is that way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. The Lord will do it. Healing is available. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
You know, God is able to do anything you ask this morning. How many of you are sure of that? We heard a testimony earlier. Someone that had a lump. And I like I said yesterday, I love those kind of testimonies because she said she went for a test. So we knew what we were combating with. Right? We know what we're dealing with. If she had said she had a lump without going for a test, you would have said maybe she's not so sure. Right? But then the doctors checked and said, oh, this is actually dangerous. Amen. And the beautiful thing about testimony is the detail. The fact that the word came clearly that you will receive, the lump is gone, and they said the medical test will cost little. Do you remember? Yes. How many of you are in church today this word came? And in her case, it costed nothing. And then the doctor cleared her. No medication. Amen. And that is God going, you know, it would have just been enough for the Lord to say, you are healed. That would have been a testimony. But the Lord made sure that those details were mentioned in the prophetic word, so that when it happens, you cannot doubt that it's God that fixed this. Are you following what I'm saying now? Your answers have come. Why do you guys stop playing? Must learn to read the atmosphere. Because you are part of the ministering team. Yes. Your answers have come.
Amen.
I say your answers have come.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So if you're believing God this morning, just believe him real hard. You know, when we say believe God, you know, recently in my studies, there is no place in the Bible where a believer was asked to believe. Yes. In the New Testament, the epistles, you find that in the four gospels, so whether asked to have faith, but we're never asked to believe as believers. You know, we're believers. So that thing about belief will make you look at it difficulty. Just agree what God has said. That's what it means. That's simple. Just agree. God said you are healed. It's okay. That's to believe. Are you following the point? God said, I've prospered. You say, fine. That's why we say, amen. Amen is, I agree. So when we say, believe, people say, how do I, there are four steps to believe in. Number one, there is no four step. To believe is to agree. I've blessed you. Okay. Things have changed. Okay. That's believing. And this morning, your answers have come. And things will not remain the same again.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Louder than that.
Amen.
Amen. Have your seats. Good morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. The last Sunday in the month of September. Amen. What is the word for September? Have you seen abundance?
Yes,
God has been faithful this month. With even the abundance of revelation we've enjoyed. Can you see now? Every day we come, every day has been better than the previous day. Clear light, clarity, and all of that. So we've been enjoying so much. So much. And our teaching is still the same, the God life. But you know, the frequency keeps changing. This part what now? Part 15 of the same teaching. Now we'll get to part 29. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things I told you when we were starting this meeting is that God has a way of using any subject of scripture to connect our lives. And that's one of the things, that is no subject, because I hear people do things like, they say, today we are teaching on new creation realities. And somebody will say, I'm not going to beg. Me, I need money. I'm talking new creation realities. You actually don't know how God's word functions. The word of God, when you study it and teach it as you be taught, touches every area of your life. Every subject you can think of, can touch any area of your life. Are you following me? I was explaining that to mom recently at home. I said, even if I decide to start teaching on anything, I want to teach on spiritual gifts, and I want to give it thorough attention, the foundation I will lay for spiritual gifts is who you are in Christ. That's the better foundation for spiritual gifts. I get to the point. Then from there, we begin to talk about how to flow. Then we begin to talk about how the different things that flowing spiritual gifts can affect in your life. We've covered all your life. From walking in right, everything is involved. Are you following me? Then we begin to talk about things that can aid spiritual flow. We're talking about things like consecration. So there is no subject. If we talk about prayer, the foundation for prayer maybe will be new creation realities. Who you are in Christ. Then from there, so there is actually no subject of scripture. If you come with an expectation, God can meet you no matter what we're talking about. So with this simple teaching on the God life, He's connecting every area of our lives. And the next 2 weeks will be brutal in the Holy Ghost. You know what I said? Brutal in the Holy Ghost. Forgive my use of my choice of words. That's how it came to me. It will be very brutal. We will be so blessed. Are you following me? You know, we have a special teaching today, but it's under the God life too. What did I call it? What did I call it? Do thyself no harm. But it's under the God life. You see, friends, God has given us His life. That's what we've been studying. He put His life in us. And that life is beyond breath. It's not breath. That life is not what He gave Adam. That life is His spirit, His life, His nature that He put in us. And we've tried to study so far to see how much that thing, that life can do in us. One of the things we'll be looking at in the last week is the fact that it can preserve our lives. Remember that? It can preserve our lives in the natural. Such that for the believer, death is no longer something that should take him unawares. Death is something he has control over. Have you been here since this week? Yes, death is something he has control over. And you better get it. And we saw all the apostles, they owned death. They owned it. Paul got to a point, he said, I'm contemplating. Paul's own is the most dramatic of them all. Philippians 1. 21 to 25. He said, I'm caught between two opinions. I want to go to be with the Lord. I prefer that one. But then, I still want to stay. So he was negotiating. After he negotiated, he got to verse 25. He said, I am sure I will stay. So Paul negotiated between life and death and decided to stay. And somebody's going to say, do people have that kind of power to choose when they die? Yes, that's what the Bible is showing us. And we saw those examples from the Old Testament. How that even Hezekiah was told by the Lord that he would die. Yet he negotiated his way out of death. And God said he has 15 more years. Now that tells you that for real, the power of life and death is with you. Are you following me? And that's why you need this revelation. You need these things. If you've not been coming for the past 15 days, you are actually losing. Yes. Because the only thing about it is God uses teachings like this to prepare you for what the devil is bringing ahead of time. Are you following what I'm saying now? Are you guys following what I'm talking about? And so you've got to learn that God wants us to live because he wants us to be in charge of death and life because he wants us to live long lives. Long, full lives. Psalm 91 verse 16, he said, with long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God wants to satisfy you. You know what it means? Like we're looking at it. To satisfy means, you know, just when I say, I've eaten fried rice and I'm satisfied. It means I'm okay now. He wants you to be alive to the point where you say, okay, I'm tired of living. Now I want to go. That's where he wants to bring you to. Are you following me? Yes, sir. So this is his will. And he has made everything available for that to happen. Now I had to start with that. Because what the Lord said I should discuss today is there are people who are believers who are going through situations and from time to time it makes them consider
Should I take my life? And let me say this to you. Different people have had such feelings at different times. But I want to deal with that issue this morning. Are you getting the point? This is a teaching on life. So you've got to learn how not to take your life. Never in any situation consider or wish yourself dead. Never. And I'm going to tell you why this morning. And you see, because I know people go through a lot. And why I'm discussing this is, it is one area that we don't really talk about a lot. And it's good we don't talk about it a lot anyway. It's good. Because anything you keep talking about, you strengthen. But it should be discussed from time to time. Because even believers, one of the men that mentored me, talked about, you know, when he was in school, almost also took his life. In fact, he took one of these dangerous chemicals from the lab, stole it. He was a man of God in school, though. Like man of God, very popular. Ran to a place in the bush alone and lifted it up. He just prayed to say, "Father, I've served you and all of that. Please don't let me go to hell." I lifted it up to drink. And he said, as he was about to drink it, he felt something hit his hand. And the thing dropped off. So at first he felt it was an angel or something. So he said, "God, I beg, I'm not in the mood." He picked it up again to drink. This time he said, the lady, shouted, "What do you want to do? Want to take your life? You, that we all
want."
So he said, "What happens to you here?" Let me say this to you. That did this do thyself no harm? Do you know where it came from? It's in the Bible, Acts 16, verse 28. When Paul and Silas, they prayed. After praying, after singing, you know that place? Their chains were broken. And after the chains were broken, the jailer that was to take care of them got up and saw that all the prisoners were free.
So he decided to kill himself.
And Paul, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That's where it came from. You see, death is an enemy of God. Now we've seen that already. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. He said, the last enemy to be defeated is death. So death is God's enemy. But you know, people get to situations where they feel, "I think I'm done. I think I want to end it here." Now, even if you don't have that thought, this teaching is going to bless you. Because there is a point we get to in this teaching, I'll begin to release the power of God against hopeless situations. Are you following me this morning?
Yes,
people get to the point, they begin to feel, "I think I'm done." And the first reason, that few reasons why I can mention why people wish themselves dead, that a few things like, you know, they feel they're in a hopeless situation. They feel that in a hopeless, why I put it in my notes, I said a seeming hopeless, because it's actually not hopeless. They feel that in a hopeless situation, and so they want to just end it all. They feel there's no more hope out of this. I'm at the end of the road. Are you following me this morning? You know, Paul also had what he called a hopeless situation, of which you don't even have all the details, but he said he got to a time where, but go to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. Let me show you. Because when people go through those things, they think that the only one is going through it. He said, "For we will not, brethren, have ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life." Give me like NLT. Paul was talking about this going through temptations. He said, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we will never live through it." So that people just go through the field, I can't live through this. Paul said they had a situation. We don't even know what was the issue. Maybe it was persecution. Maybe it was hardship. But the end point is they felt that they couldn't live through it. And people think once they have the situation, some of them think the best thing to do is to end it all. That's not a wise thing to do. And there are people like that in the Bible who fell for such things. For instance, Saul, in 1 Samuel 31 verse 4, Saul killed himself. Why? Because he had been badly wounded. So he was afraid that he was conscious. He didn't want the Philistines to be the one to kill him. So he told one of the guys there to kill him. He said no. So he felt, I'm already injured. I'll definitely die. So why wait again? So he used his own sword to kill himself. People feel that when they get into a hopeless situation, the best thing to do is to shut everything down. Are you guys following what I'm saying? There are a few examples of that in the Bible. There's a man in the Bible called Zimri. Zimri, Z-I-M-R-I. He tried to take the throne. That's 1 Kings 16, verse 15. He tried to take the throne, and eventually, the people surrounded him. The people surrounded him. 1 Kings 16, not 15. 16 from verse 15. 16, 15. They surrounded. So when he felt that, oh, the house has been surrounded, eventually I'm going to be captured and I'm going to die, he used his own hand to set the house on fire. People think that when they go to a hopeless situation, that the best thing to do is to end everything. But we're going to see that that's actually not a wise, that's a foolish thing to do. I'm going to tell you why. Are you following me this morning? I think it's going to help you. And if there's anybody that is having this kind of thoughts, you've got to help them. But let me even announce to you, when you go through a hopeless situation, the last thing that should never even be on your mind is, I'm just going to end everything. And the reason is this, I'm going to come to that much, let me just mention, the reason is this, things are not always as bad as they seem. Coming to that very shortly. And that is why people try to, you know, take their lives up. When they have fears. Fear of the unknown. Or fear of the consequences of their action. So they feel, I think I've done too much. Who knows what is coming for me next? After everything I've done. So let me just end everything. That was the case of this jailer. Right? He felt the best thing for him was to kill himself, because these guys, who knows, you know, I've just slept off on duty. And then, I get what I'm talking about. So I don't know what is coming next. Another example like that is Matthew 27 verse 5, the man Judas. Remember Judas? He felt, I think I've done too much. I sold Jesus. I sold my Lord and personal Savior. Related to that, for instance, is guilt. You know, guilt is a very dangerous killer. Somebody commits it, they feel, I've done too much. Look at, just like Judas. I sold my Lord. You know, Judas was really feeling guilty. That's why we always say that guilt is not repentance. Nah, guilt is not repentance. Judas felt guilty, but he didn't repent. He even took the money back. He said, I don't want to get it, but that's not repentance still. He felt so guilty. And the way he couldn't live with the guilt, of course, he went and took his life. And I don't know why people do that. Let me even be the first to announce to you. If there is something bad you've done, and it is so bad that you're feeling so guilty, listen, Jesus has paid for your sins. The problem is, you are the one remembering what God has forgotten. I don't care how bad it is. I'm a pastor. I've sat in this office and I've heard some terrible things that people have done. And I've also seen Jesus forgive them. Let me tell you this story. A story that you will not like. Best I used to tell this story a lot is Dr. Luke Oya, those days. Said there was a guy, a story of witchcraft. A guy had gained admission, scholarship and all of that to go to Harvard. You know Harvard? Like Harvard of the Harvard. You know, Harvard is 1% of the 1%. It's not about having money. You have to be, you know, there are Ivy League schools and there are Ivy League schools. Harvard is the Ivy League of the Ivy League. But he got the admission, got a scholarship. So as he was leaving for the airport, the sister was like, you know, was trying to hold him back. He said, please, I'm in a hurry. And the sister told him, no be to go, not to come back. And he didn't take it seriously. So he was obviously a witch. He went, came out the best in his class, you know, did very well, graduated. They were having a pool party after 4 years or so. celebrating that he has graduated and all of that. And he jumped, you know, to fall into the swimming pool, went straight with his head, boom, and died. So, why are you telling us this story? The problem is that, and obviously it was a sister. Yes. Which you have to say, be getting. Good thing is, the sister later got born again. That's what I'm going to with this story. And you think Jesus will say, no, I'm not going to accept you. Oh my, come on. Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah, that song you sing that you don't really think about. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Do you still believe that? Do you think Jesus will accept the person? Fool you. Say, my daughter, welcome. I'm trying to show you something, friends. Bad, it's bad to be bad. But Jesus deals with every bad thing. And when he's done handling it, there will be no trace of the guilt. Now, that's not to encourage you to go and do bad. That's to tell you that no matter what it is that the devil is trying to hold you back with, if you bring it to us, he will deal with it. He won't even remember it. Now you are angry that somebody killed somebody. But you are reading the books of Paul. Who supervised the death of Stephen. He killed Stephen and many other people. And you are reading his book. Because when Jesus washes, he doesn't leave a trace. Are you following me, friends? He doesn't leave no trace. So you are the one trying to do something to yourself or write yourself off because you feel you've done too much. Or because of guilt, I'm not going to. So the question I'm going to ask you is, if Judas had not killed himself, do you think Jesus would have welcomed him as part of the apostles? The answer is yes. He says he's the son of perdition. Peter also denied Jesus 3 solid times. And the other apostles that didn't deny him abandoned him on the cross and ran away. So none of them were good actually. Is not following me this morning at all? And so when you feel that your guilt has become too much, it is the devil keeping you there. Now I've seen people try to consider suicide because they feel they did too much. I believe this message is helping somebody this morning. They feel they did too much. They feel like, you say, do you know what I've done? Do you know what I've done? As soon as when they finish telling me, I also tell them, see, you did a lot. But that's the point. You don't let guilt hold you down. Amen. There are other reasons that I'm not able to get into today. Things like depression. No, you can be too depressed that you think of anything and everything. Has it ever happened to you? I'm just so depressed. Other people, they feel, there are other examples like, they feel the pain is unbearable. Unbearable pain. Now, I can give you 20 days. You can go online and browse. They can give you 30 days. But let me tell you something. The underlying thing about this thing is that anything that makes you think of harming yourself is of the devil. It's a demonic influence. Anything that makes, some people don't harm themselves, some people don't kill themselves, because I'm talking about suicide. Some don't kill themselves. Some end everything. You are doing business, something just goes wrong. You gather everything, I'm born. So I'm not doing it again. You burn, scatter everything. I'm done. Delete your Facebook page. It is the devil that plants that kind of thoughts on people's hearts. You know, when you read the Bible, and when you look at people, have you heard of people that possibly committed suicide? And when you hear why they did, you are surprised. Like, is this it? I have ever seen things like that. Like, is that all? See, somebody, the guy is rich, the guy is doing so well. But then, maybe, give me an example. Yeah, broke his heart. I told you, yes, Davi. A young man, painful, a pastor. They broke his heart. He couldn't take it. He died. Like he killed himself. He said, I can't take it.
Because he trained the girl in school.
Oh, Chimo. And the girl said, she's no more doing.
Let me even say this to you. If there's anybody you're in a relationship with, and you feel that if the person leaves you, you are going to die, leave the person. It means that person has a hold on you that is unhealthy. It means that's obsession. That's not love. I'm just telling you plainly. This is a strange advice, Abby. Did it hit your heart? It's an unhealthy hold. If you leave me, I'm going to die. And you really feel it. That the person leaves you, you're going to die. And the person leaves you, actually try to kill yourself. It is God that broke it up. Because that's obsession. That's an unhealthy thing. You don't know how unhealthy it is. Yes. The Lord has said to me, you know, this teaching will not end today. We'll continue tomorrow. And next tomorrow. Yes, because there's a lot to cover. But I'm going, there's some of this, I've taught you before, but Lord said I should bring that matter back and teach in the light of this. Some people are so weak. Have a very weak spirit. You know, and all I'm saying, all of that is of the devil. When, you know, one of the most foolish suicide stories I've ever read in my life is in 2 Samuel 17, verse 23. A man called that, you know Ahithophel? A man called Ahithophel, very wise man, walked with David. Then when Absalom rebelled against David, he joined Absalom in the rebellion. And he gave Absalom an advice one day. Absalom rejected the advice. He got angry and killed himself. They didn't take his advice, he killed himself. That's the most, I said, wow. It just goes to tell you that people think they know what they're doing. But there is a demon. There's an influence of the devil. Like, I advise you, say you're not taking it. When I first saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, hanged himself and died. My God. Whatever you are going through, don't let the devil drag you that far. Are you following me? Don't let him put those thoughts in your heart. Because I'm trying to say, it is him. It's not your situation. It is him. We just caught the thief. It's not your situation. It's not like it's too bad. He is the reason. Because there are things you're going through and others have gone through and they're fine. So it's not because your own is too much. It is the devil sowing those thoughts in your heart. Are you following me? Let me make two very serious points. Why you shouldn't think about this. You see, God has given us dominion over death, right? God has given us chance to choose when we will die and all of that. But listen to this. There is still the right time for the believer to die. There is the right time. So when is the right time? I'll show you very simply. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. Verse 5, verse 6 actually. 2 Timothy 4 verse 6. When is the right time for a believer to die? He said, for I am now ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. How did he know that? Verse 7. He said, for I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. It is when you are done with your assignment that you should go. Anything short of that is the devil. And let me tell you, you are not done with your assignments. You've not even started. Some of you don't even know your assignment. You know how many things in phases? Some of you have not even entered. I'm telling you. Yes. As if phase one. Well, again, pastored for 7 years. Did field ministry for 3 years before he entered the first phase of his calling. The Lord told him, the Lord said, he just entered the first phase of your calling. So when I read that, I said, well, maybe we are not even, we've not even opened the book. Then I fought the good fight. I have kept until that has happened. The believer is not allowed to die. Any death around that time is untimely. Which is why no matter what is happening, have you fought the good fight of faith? Have you finished your course?
Have you run your race? So what the heck is that devil putting in your head? There's a right time for the believer to die. Let me show you another one. Acts 13 verse 36. When is the right time for the believer to die? Acts 13 verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. You die when you serve your generation by the will of God. Give me like any other translations. It's not any time. He said, this is not a reference to David. For after David had done the will of God, the generation, he died. That's when you die. When you've done, when you finish your work. When you've served your generation. Anything short of that is the devil. It's not because you are passing through a lot. There is not a lot you are passing through. The devil is just messing with your mind. Are you following me, friends? Stop nursing. Who has ever been delivered from suicidal thoughts at any time in his life? If you can, raise your hand. You nursed it at the time, and God delivered you. You know, why I ask this question is, when we teach, like, people feel like, why are you teaching this kind of thing in church? In church? It happens. Between the age 15 and 24, the third leading cause of death is suicide. Yes. Research. It's not like I didn't think it out of my head. Say amen. So there is still the time for the believer to die. That time is when you are done with the assignment. Let me even add, apart from the fact that there is a time for the believer to die, that is still how a believer should die. That is how a believer should not die. How should a believer die? Genesis 49 verse 33. He shouldn't die by hanging himself. He shouldn't die by accident. He shouldn't die by sickness. Genesis 49 verse 33. Not by sickness. I've told you. The devil should have no say on when you leave this earth and how you live. He said, when Jacob had made an end of commanding his son, he gathered his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost. That's how we die. Give me an NLT so you get it. Give me an NLT quick. Let's use it together, everybody. To his sons. What did he do? He drew his feet into the bed. Breathed his last. So you see the peaceful. He just finished talking and said, I'm done. No. Please bring my blanket. Just carry the leg up and passed. That is how we do it. It's not put knife for your throat. He said, why? He said, it was too much to bear. It's not God's plan for you to tamper with your life. Don't let the devil get into your head, though. Anything that brings a thought of giving up is of the devil. End it all. The devil. Some people have not got to the point of suicide, though. But some of you go through pain and you take some drastic actions that you regret when you are done. That is still a bad stuff. For 3 weeks, I have not sold anything. I'm done with this business. I'm not doing it again. Where all my, you get your material, you burn them up. Shut it, I'm done. That thought of packing up and giving is the devil that brings it. Are you following me now? You are in a very good relationship. But every time it gets into your head, it's I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing it again. That's not that it has nothing to do with the person you are dating. The person didn't do anything. Just that it didn't just fool your head. He said, let me even know what you that is doing me. How can I be going through a lot and I'm doing a relationship? I'm not doing it again. Now, I've seen this practically. And the poor boy with that saying, what did I do? He said, I'm not doing it again. He said, I'm sorry. That's why are you sorry now? Did I say you did anything? Oh God, leave him, leave her and just leave that room. She's not ready for help. Are you following me? Find the cure. Let God help you. It's the devil that plants those thoughts. And I want you to decide that you will break free from those things. Look at what I'm saying. Most people that eventually go down that path, they don't do it on the first day it comes to their mind.
It comes, they try it, it fails, they try it, they keep going until eventually they get there. So if you don't fight it, if you don't fight such thoughts, if you don't fight such considerations, they will get a better part of you. Let me help you. I'll give you four things that we close this morning. Number one, things are not always as bad as they seem. Please write that and never forget it. Things are not always... No, let me tell you. Learn this. The devil is a master in blowing things out of proportion. Now, that is him. The devil is a master in blowing things out of proportion. He can make one small thing look like... Think of this. When you think of suffering in the Bible, who comes to your mind? Job. And yet, he never thought of taking his life. A man in one day lost all his businesses, lost all his houses, lost all his children in one day, and his wife left him and he fell sick. In one day, in one lifetime. Yet he never considered ending his life. Job was so much, Job's case was so, Bible said when his friends came to see him, when they arrived and saw his state, they didn't say a word for like 3 days. Like they just came there, they sat down. Like nobody said that, don't get the point. For like 3 days. They will look and look and just sit down there. For three, it was so bad. Imagine knowing a man, you've always seen a man you've always known to be a billionaire. Come to his house, everything gone in one day. All children gone. Wife gone. Sores all over his body, sick. They didn't say nothing. Yes, the man didn't say, I'm about to end everything. Things are not always as bad as they seem. It's a job you lost, not your destiny. Things are not always that bad. It's a girl that left you. Not your kidney. And I'm trying to tell you that if you're going to stay a little long and be more patient, you will find out that things are not that bad. Think about this. Our anchor script, that place we read, Acts 16 verse 28. When the jailer woke up, he wanted to kill himself. Why? He thought all the prisoners have escaped. How many people escaped? Not even one. All of them were intact. So if he did not actually delay, he wouldn't have seen. He just saw that the door was open. He said, oh, it's over. That's how we think. That's how the devil plays. Are you following me this morning? That's how he plays. He said the door is open. So what it means is that everybody has escaped. What it means is that, so he interprets the thing to you, explains it. Are you following me this morning at all? Explains it, and I'm talking to someone. Even if you don't have suicidal thoughts, I'm just telling you, things are not as bad as you think they are looking. You need to hear me. It's just money you don't have yet. And that's the point. It's just a contract you lost. He can blow it out of proportion. He said, you know, as I was going to church, coming to church today, it just felt like everybody was looking at me and laughing. Have you ever felt that way? By the time you get close, they find that nobody even knew you came to church. They're just looking at me and laughing. Everybody just mocking me. I've seen that. He blows it out of proportion. So, what happens is, one thing happens, he gives you explanations. Let me tell you what it means. Now that the prison doors are open, everybody has run away. They won't go to their houses. They will now you slept on duty. It means they will kill you. They will not only kill you, they will kill you. They will even kill your family. So, the best thing for you to do is to kill yourself so that it will look like they attacked you and killed you in the process. So they will not spare your family. You say, wow. Do thyself no harm. That's what Paul told them. For we are all here. All is rented. Nothing spoiled. Nothing spoiled. I'm trying to tell you. God has given you his life. Use it well. Use it to preserve your life. Don't take your life. And I can tell you, if you really
understand God's word. There is nothing the devil does that will be able to take your life. So he knows that part. So he now wants to put the thought in your own head to be the one to do it. Are you following me, friends? Touch your neighbor and say, things are not that bad. Come on, tell the person, things are not that bad. It's just, what's the problem? It's just money. It's just admission you've not gotten. How many of you, before you gained the admission, you felt like your life had ended? Is anybody like that? I know all of you. I remember some people coming here and telling me, Daddy, I'm never going to go to school again. I wrote jam. I'm not going again. I'm done. Let's look at them. The problem is that when they now enter school, first year, second year, they say, this school, I'm not even going again. I say, you must finish this school. Because, you know, so all my friends have got admission. Even people that do not serve God, people that are unbelievers, they've got, why is my life like this? Why do unbelievers get this? And me that is even a believer, I have not gotten it. Things are not that bad. When you now enter school, it's now when you get to final year, you will see your senior in first year. You've seen that kind of thing. You now find out that it's not actually as bad as you're looking at it. And the person will be happy. Happy living his life. I went to a school, a fellowship, they were doing their graduation. UNISIC, I can't forget. And this guy came to testify. He just graduated from law. He came and testified that he waited at home for 10 years before getting admission. I said, wow. And he was graduating that day. So he was so happy. 10 years. But the thing about it is, at the time he was graduating, he was a rich person. He came with his car. Because in those days, he was dating as well. He started doing business. Why waiting? Things are not that bad. So I would have just been at home saying, I'm never even going to make it in life. He can start doing business. He's all car and embarrassed. He's doing an open shop. And while in the process, they were still reading and writing, he didn't get admission. So he graduated from law. Now, this is the same thing, reason why someone would have just ended everything. Look at the example I gave you, Judas. Judas felt things were so bad. The question I'm going to ask you, were things really that bad? Because if he had met Jesus, would Jesus have forgiven him? Yes, easily. Do you realize Jesus never discussed Peter's betrayal with him? Can you read your Bible? Not once. Not once did he tell him, let's see two aside. So, after everything, you said you never knew me. There was no such conversation. And that would have been the same treatment he would give Judas. Because what he does for one, he will do for all. He's a merciful God. So, it wasn't that bad, actually, for Judas. But he just blew out of proportion. I say, what it means is that, imagine, and Jesus have been saying that he will rise. What if he now finally rises? How will I even go back to go and meet Peter and the rest? What would have happened? Jesus would have just told them, don't bother him. He did what he did. He just tell them, you know Jesus, how he talks very wisely. Just say one thing. And life will go on. And Jesus will now go all over the world saying, I was the one that betrayed him. But he loved me and accepted me. It will be another message that will encourage people. But no, he didn't see it that way. The devil never lets you see the true picture. Things are not that bad. Are you following me? Things are not that bad. Second thing I would like you to see is that you have a purpose to fulfill on earth. God has a plan for your life. And so whatever you're going through, whatever your challenge is, does not and will never cancel that plan. God has a plan. Even your mistakes will never cancel your purpose. And so no matter, look at the point. The plan that God has for your life is older than you. It precedes, what it means is that even before you are born, he has had that plan. So nothing you do can ever make him change the plan. And so because you know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, You learn to stay alive and hope.
Are you following what I'm talking about this morning?
Stay alive and hope. God has a plan for my life. It's a job I lost, but I'm going to stay alive and hope. Some pastors commit suicide real because their members left them. Jesus, our Lord, I showed you yesterday, lost all his members, thousands of people in one single day. Only 12 were left. And he still moved on with his life. Because the fact that all of you lives his life doesn't mean that what God sent him to do on earth has been canceled. God has a plan for your life. Psalm 139 verse 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 139 and verse 15. He said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Verse 16. He said, thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy books, all my members were written, which in continuance you have fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Hallelujah. Give me NLT, verse 15. God has a plan for your life. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Hallelujah. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God knew you before you came. He wrote something about you before you came. So nothing should be strong enough. Because the point is, no matter what happens to you, God doesn't change his mind. That's the thing about God. God doesn't change it. God is not like you. You know, the will of God today is the will of God next year. It's still his will in the next week. Go and ask him again. It's still his will. That plan he has for your life is still there. Can I say to you, if he has ever made you any promise on earth, he has never changed his mind. And that's the thing about it. He will never change his mind. If he's not going to make you, for instance, now, let's move on from the plan of God, for instance. If he's not going to make your business big, and after he says that, the next year, you lose all your clients, what he said has not changed. God doesn't change his mind. He said before you were even born, he has written down how he wants your life to go. No man is an accident of creation. No man is an accident of sexual intercourse. We all came because God has a plan for our lives. And so let nothing be able to take you from that plan for your life. So the fact that you made a mistake, God still has a plan for your life. The fact that you are going through a tough challenge, God still has a plan for your life. The fact that things are not working, the fact that people left you, doesn't change the fact that God still has a plan for your life. So do thyself no harm. Do yourself no harm. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? God has a plan for my life. Now, have things gone wrong for me before? Yes. Did it change anything? No. You know, one of the things I see people do that breaks my heart. I see people totally change the direction of their lives. I don't know why God has placed it in my heart. Because something bad happened to them. I see people don't have sense. Let me give you an example. God tells you to walk this path. Let me use this for instance. My son, go plant me a church. Raise me a church on the other platform of my grace and all of that. God sends me and I come. And along the line, something bad happens. I announce I'm no more doing. You know, that's a very crazy thing. I've seen people too that God sends to a church. And along the line, somebody in the church breaks their heart. They leave the church. So you change the direction of your life and the trajectory that God has set you because of an event. You're not that wise. I get what I'm saying. You're not that wise. Or maybe because in church, somebody, you did business with somebody in church. The person is even a pastor. And the person ate your money. I'll never go to that church again. You have seen in your spirit that God sent you here. God has even shown you pictures of 10 years to come and all of that. And then because somebody ate your money, you totally change. God doesn't change his mind like that. I get the point. Now, let nothing make you think that God has forgot what he said about you. What he said is still what he said. You prayed and he told you, go start selling phones. Say, yes, daddy. You started selling the phone. The first import you wanted to make, they duped you. But yeah, you prayed about it. You now abandoned the land of business. I'm never going to do it again. No. Why are you that weak? His plan has not changed. Are you following me, friends? His plan has not changed. His purpose is still his purpose. What he thinks is still what he thinks. Are you following me, friends? What he thinks, the only thing that has the capacity to make you stop in the direction you are moving should be if he that told you to start tells you to stop. Yes. If the person that told you to start tells you to stop, well, then stop. But if he doesn't say you should stop, keep moving how you are moving. His plan has not changed. And he will never tell you to take your life. Nah. God has a plan for my life. Say it again. Say, God has a plan for my life. Are you happy about that? Just briefly thank him. Thank him for his plan. He has a plan for your life. Thank him. He has a plan for your life. Nothing can change that. A plan that nothing can change. Even your mistakes cannot alter it. Someone needs to hear that even your mistakes cannot change what God has planned for you. I know you did a lot of terrible things, but God's plan is still God's plan. He told Jeremiah, before I formed in the womb, I knew you, and I intended to be a prophet to the nations. Oh, yes. And God cannot lie. Because, yes, my God,
he will do what he says he will do.
Change his plan for anybody. Now, have I been hit by a difficult situation? Yes. Did God ever say, I did not call you again? No. He can never uncall me. Like, you are the one that will be angry with the called man. Say, look at somebody that said, I got called him. See how he's behaving. You are the one angry. God will never change his plan. Romans 11, verse 29. He said, the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance, they are irrevocable. Irrevocable. They can't be changed. They're without repentance. What it means is God will never change his mind about them. Are you following me? So why are you trying to end everything where God is still writing the scripts? God is still, the movie is not over. You're trying to end it. Keep watching. God has never changed his mind. Though there may be a delay, he will never change what he said. You see, this thing I told you is one of the greatest source of comfort for me. No matter what is going, I will go back to the book and say, God, did you say it? If you said it, I'll believe it. And I'll keep hoping. I've told you guys the story, 2016 and all of that, when things were not moving well, both in my life and in ministry. And I was at the point I was saying, trying to say to the Lord, I'm going to end all of this. I'm going to end all of this. Not my life, oh. I'm going to end all this ministry thing I'm doing. And I told God that day, you know me. You know I'm not a lazy person. I'm a diligent person. I could get to the streets and work for my money and make my money. I'm going to end all this. At least, I'm not asking you for money, but at least if you sent me here, at least let people be coming to listen to me. How can I be talking to 2-3 people every Sunday? I got to the point. I'm not asking for money. I just want people. Or things should work out well. Because then we have built one thing and it has collapsed. But you know, God never changes his mind. If I stop then, I will not see this day. Are you following what I'm talking about now? He will never change his mind. I just sit for a moment. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your mistake will not cancel that plan. Your mistake will not. Your challenges will not. Yeah, the one going through hell, the plan is still intact. And I feel like saying somebody, the prophecies that God gave you are still intact. So do yourself no harm. You know, if I'm going to add two more things, why I don't think a believer should even consider taking his life. Your body does not belong to you. That's the next reason. You don't own yours. Remember I told you that, right? This body, Jesus paid for it. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18. It's not only your spirit Jesus paid for. He paid for your body. So you have no right to take what doesn't belong to you. He said, every sin that a man committed is without a body. He that committed fornication is against his own body. Next verse. That's verse 19. He said, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. He said, you are not your own. So this body does not belong to Henry. It belongs to the Lord. So I should not take what is the Lord's own. So he would say, is it not my body? Can't I decide to end? It's my body. Mm-mm. It's not your body. It's the Lord's own. This body is the Lord's. Yes, actually. Except you're not born again. If you're a believer, Jesus paid for every part of your spirit, soul, and body. That's why I've taught you during when the sense will be raised. Bible said, even if our bodies have decayed, he will put the body together and raise it because he paid for it.
Yes.
So it's not only our spirits that will be in heaven, even this body. Just that he will now transform the body to a glorified state. Are you getting the point? So it belongs to him. So you don't have that right to tamper with your body. And another thing he should tell you is the fact that since he owns the body, he will take care of your body. So you can also trust him. Are you following, friends? He will. This body is the Lord's. Let me say one last thing today. When I started, I said things are not always that bad. But let me say one last thing. Things can change so quickly. Now, I'm saying this from God's word and from experience. You see, people that try to cut themselves, a little patience can show you things can change so quickly. And can I say, things will change so quickly.
Amen.
I've seen things change so quickly. Added so quickly. Sometimes it can happen that you wonder, where was I there? Things can change. Things can change. Look at Job. Things can change so quickly. From having everything to having nothing. And there is something about people going through things and they feel like this will be the end. This cannot be the end. And that is something I know. That once you are working with God, there is no way a hard part can be your end. I just know it. He said there is hope for a tree. If it be cut down, these things can change. Imagine you knew Obed Edom in January, and they bring an ark into his house, and you meet him by April. From being a pauper to being a wealthy man, things can change so quickly. He says, I want to kill myself. The pain, I'm sick. The pain is unbearable. Things can change so quickly. That just in one moment, be healed in Jesus and every pain disappears. It's not even before you felt anything. Things can change so quickly. How many of you have ever gone through an emotional pain? Something that really, really broke your heart. Anybody? Yeah. Now, how many of you have been healed from that pain? Do you even remember you ever? Does it, even as you remember it now, is it still painful? Things can change so quickly. Yes. For that is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Continue. That is hope for a tree. Though the roots thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. And the scent of water it will bow. It will spring. It will grow again. What he's talking about is strong. You know, go back to verse 7. He said, if a tree has been cut, give me like NLT. If it's been cut. See, if even a tree has more hope. If it is cut down, it will sprout again and grow new branches. And this can happen. Once a man dish gaba, once you did not uproot the tree, Shena cut, you cut him, it will grow. Once we are connected to the vine. Do you remember that teaching that day? He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Once the vine and the branch are connected and life is still flowing, things will change quickly. So you are the one trying to end so quickly too. Once you do not uproot it. Sir, what does it mean to uproot? To uproot means once they did not take your salvation, which they cannot do. Once they cannot disconnect you from the vine. Once there is still a connection. The vine is still supplying life to the branch. Things will change. Now, I am not praying. I am telling you a statement of fact. Both from the word of God and from my experience, things can change so quickly. You know, when I tell you people stories of some progress we've made in our financial life, you say, you know, when I used to, it looks like it's 30 years ago. No, it's not. It's not. As at 2020, beginning of 2020, I didn't have a house. You people know now. 2020, I didn't have a house, I didn't have a car, I didn't have nothing. I was sleeping on the street, doing ministry. As of 2020, things can change so quickly. I am telling you this. Hope in God. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and a lifter up of my head. Things can change. I just want to minister to someone this morning. Things can change so quickly. Things can change from nothing, from being jobless. Things can change so quickly that you look back, you're wondering, how did I get here? And if you look deeply into your life, you know that things can change so quickly. If you remember some things that you've been through, you know that things can actually change so quickly. And I'm sincerely, if I look talking about money, if I look around this church, you guys are not billionaires yet, but you will be. Amen. But then I still remember almost everybody here at different levels of their lives. How some of you came in. I know some of you that didn't have any house. I know some of you that could not even transport yourself to church. But things can change. Things can change. So why is the devil trying to play fast one on you? Say, sir, it is somebody I lost, a loved one. I'm sorry. Sorry, but things can change. So what are things? Can the person come back? Well, maybe not. But God can heal your heart so much that you can refer to that matter and still not feel pain. You hear me talk about the fact I lost my dad. And you've never seen me say that. I start crying. Not because it didn't hurt then. But things can change. Are you following me, friends? So what of all the things? The person who will not pay my school fees. Things can change so quickly. Are you following me? Do yourself no harm. When I mean no harm, don't kill yourself, don't hurt yourself, don't talk down on yourself, don't say terrible things about yourself. Do yourself no single harm. Don't say, oh, my life is a mess, my life is this, I'll start hitting my head on the wall. You know, there was a time that I had, if I go through any, if this gets very tiring for me and frustrating, I will pick up my anything around me. I will smash it. He says, are you? Yes, me. I've smashed my phone a few times. Say, why? If I'm just frustrated. And if, you know, it's not this phone we're using now that is responding well. You know, sometimes when you are frustrated that your phone knows to frustrate you. And that person is refusing to press, everything will hang. Yes. And I'm angrily, why? Don't stop on the wall. That's also harming yourself. Until one day the Lord said to me, in Apodala. I was like, God, I have to ask a question. Are you mad? Are you okay? Don't harm yourself in any way. Things can change so quickly. Things are not that bad. Help is coming. Let me preach to them. Say, things can change so quickly. Preach it to your neighbor. Come on. Tell him. He needs to hear it. Things can change so quickly. You can be single this moment and in 3 months time you are married. Things can change so quickly. Yes. I still remember when I wasn't married like it was yesterday. Yes. And now I have a son. Things can change. I'm just telling you. I still remember it like it was yesterday. I still remember the day I went to ask my wife out. Yes. I still remember vividly. Like it was yesterday. But just quickly, quickly like that. So people that are new in this church cannot imagine pastor not being married. That one day, I mean, there was time you are not married. That was your time. But things can change so quickly. So wherever you are, things can just change. So just bear it in your mind. Look at Job. From being nothing. From suffering. Job 42 from verse 10. The Lord just changed everything. Job 42 verse 10. I'll close with that today. Tomorrow I'm going to continue with this. Because there's a lot to say. If you think you're in a situation that looks hopeless, there is an answer. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Hallelujah. Continue, twice as much. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money. You know, the Lord put favor upon him. People started giving him money and started giving him gold. Things can change so quickly. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep. Do you know, if you check the first chapter, everything was now times two. Because he used to have 7,000 sheep, now he had 14. Things can change. And God pays attention to such details. God made sure it was double. But I cannot doubt that this is God. Things can change. Hold your neighbor's hand, please. Hold the neighbor's hand. Are you holding the person? Look at the person. Say, things can change. Things will change. It will get better. Now begin to pray for that person from your heart all over this place. Begin to pray for that person. Pray for that person. Whatever the person is going through, you might not know. Pray for that person. Pray for that person. Shadika Randosko Baradash. Pray for that person. Just keep praying, don't stop. Are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Pray for that person. You will not break down. The Lord is intervening. The Lord is intervening in your case. He's intervening in your case. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Agame wero bi mujere chimos. Lolo chimon. Olun ki hunanya. Agame wero bi mujere chimos. Lolo chimon. Olun ki hunanya. Amam na Chineke na genyere m aka. Olu nke Chineke agaghị esiri m ike. Amam na Chineke na genyere m aka. God is going to help you. Lift your two hands to heaven in this place. I minister help. Any area where you need help. Any area where you need help. May God give you a speedy miracle. A quick intervention. A quick intervention. A quick intervention. A quick intervention. Amam na Chineke na kenyere maka. You know why I asked you to pray for that person? The Lord put this verse in my heart, verse 10 in my heart of Job 42. That's why I said you should pray for that person. And in the prophetic thing, the Lord said, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Yes. And I'm going to explain that further tomorrow. But I'm telling you, things are turning around now. Amen. Receive help. Amen. I say, receive help. Amen. Receive help when you need help. Amen. Receive help in your finances. Amen. Receive help in your health. Receive help in your business. Receive help in your relationships. Receive help in your family. Receive help in your studies. Receive help in your ministry. Receive help in your health, in your emotions. In the name of Jesus. The help of the Lord has come. And I said, the Lord, fixing hearts that have been hurt, that have been broken, that have been damaged, that have been bruised. Amam na Chineke na genyere maka. Olunke Chineke agaghị siri m ike. Amam na onye na-eme ma genyere maka. Olunke Chineke, my God. Amam na Chineke na genyere m aka. Olu nke Chineke agaghị siri m ike. Aga m ewere obi m jere Chimozi. Lolo Chimolo. Olu nke ịhụnanya. Aga m ewere obi m jere Chimozi. Lolo Chimolo. Olu nke ịhụnanya. Amam na Chineke na genyere m aka. Olu nke Chineke. Life will not be hard. It could be for a season, but God will bring you help. God will bring you help. God will bring you help. God will bring you help.
And he's removing the shame. He's removing whatever that has caused shame on your path. In the name of Jesus. Hope you put your heart on something. Because that which you have put your heart on now, God is taking care of it. In prayers like this, don't just shout an empty amen. Put your heart on something. Put your expectation on something. Something that has caused you pain, that has caused you shame. The Lord said, I'm turning it around now. Things are changing so quickly. 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 In the name of Jesus. I heard the Lord say to someone, that which the enemy planned for shame will not happen. And I'm talking to a couple in this place. You will not struggle to conceive. Any of our centers, any of these couples are located, you will not struggle to conceive. What the enemy has planned for shame will not stand. It will not happen. Yes. The Lord has fixed it. We're going to take 2 minutes. You're going to forget whatever it is that is happening. And you begin to rejoice in this place. Listen, you begin to laugh. You begin to celebrate. Forget about the job. Forget about anything. And begin to celebrate. Continue doing that. Amam na chineke na genyere maka. Olunke chineke agaghị siri m ike. Amam na chineke na genyere maka. Sing it again one more time. Amam na chineke na genyere maka. Aya. Olunke chineke agaghị siri m ike. Sing it again. Amam na chineke na genyere maka. Olunke chineke agaghị siri m ike. Two more times. Amam na chineke na genyere maka. Olunke chineke agaghị siri m ike. One more time. Sing it one more time. Amam na chineke na genyere maka. Olunke chineke agaghị siri ike. Hallelujah. You know, there was a season in my life that God used this song to comfort me. I sang it a lot that season. God will help you. And I sang it to a point. He did help me. You know, there are songs tied to certain seasons in your life. And whenever you go to those seasons and God gives you those songs, take it and sing it a lot that period. He did help me. There are some songs you see me sing. Once you sing it, you just see me break down or cry. You know, sometimes it reminds me of something. God will come through. God will help you. God will intervene. And it's happening already. Dance one more time in the Holy Ghost. Everybody listen. Okay, stop. Take your seats. Take a comfortable position on your seats. Are you seated now? Now begin to laugh at whatever situation. Don't smile. Laugh. Ha ha. Hey. Glory. Glory. Ha 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 ha. Woo! Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Glory to God. 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 Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Listen to me, friends.
We are not without help. We are not without hope. Don't write a Christian off because he's still connected to the vine. Don't write the branch off because the vine is still supplying strength. And he's going to rise again. At the scent of water, he will bud again. Things are getting better right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, were you blessed in this service? Please lift your hands and just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for what you just received right now. But I tell you, things have just changed. If you know you received something, just thank him for what you just received. Thank him because something just changed. One of things that changed is that God ministered strength to your heart. Yes. He gave you hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. Lift your hands and just bless him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. For his mercy
endures forever. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He is faithful and he is
two more times now. Say, bless the Lord. Everybody bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
For his mercy.
For his mercy. And yours forever. Bless the Lord.
My God.
Bless the Lord. He is faithful and he is
for the last time, bless the Lord. Stranded, always sending timely messages, timely words that will help. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we're grateful to you this morning. We will receive testimonies about today, it will pour in, and it will be a total change of situation. And you, demon that is terrorizing these minds. Planting those satanic thoughts. Get out of those minds now. Get out of those minds now. From now, I give you back your thoughts. I give you back your mind. I give you back your mind. That stuff that has seized your mind is letting go of it right now. In the name of Jesus, take back your mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. You want to shout a louder amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.